Welcome to the Access Astrology Podcast. I'm Arwen O'Neill, and I'm here with my good friend Allison Price, and we are coming to you from Vancouver, Canada. Today we'll be talking about the transits from July 13th through 26th, 2014. And we'll be discussing the moon phases, and then we'll be moving into our 360 topic of the day, which is the North and South Nodes.
Yes, indeed.
Indeed. Let's see. First, let's promote this event that you've got coming up.
Okay. First. Let's move straight in on that then.
Yeah, why not? This is happening in our 2 weeks.
It is. It is. This is in Vancouver on July the 26th, 2014. On the Saturday, we have a full day summer astrology workshop.
That's awesome.
And I will put a link on the site. Mm-hmm. We also have a hashtag for this now. And what this is going to be, this is intermediate astrology, which means you really need to know your glyphs before you come. But certainly it's for those who want to learn interpretive techniques to get you to read a natal chart quickly rather than be hanging about for 3 weeks trying to interpret something.
Cool.
So it's going to be, we're going to start off about 10 o'clock at the main library in Robson Street, and I'll be talking about essential dignities and the dispositor tree in the morning. And then it's a workshop, so there will be work to be done. You need to bring your chart. You'll get handouts. Then in the afternoon, we've got Thomas McPherson, who is a Vancouver astrologer. And he has a diploma from the Faculty of Astrological Studies in London, England.
Excellent.
So he's highly qualified, and he's discovering fundamental chart themes. And again, it's about getting into the chart quickly, ignoring what you don't need to know, knowing what you need to know, and that goes on for the whole afternoon.
Nice.
So the full details and hopefully the flyer will be on the website. And if you're in the Vancouver area or the vicinity, do come along. You have to book because we only have a certain amount of seating. And we'd love to see you there.
Yeah, the Vancouver Library is a lovely setting too, to be spending the
it
Saturday.
It is spectacular. And we're on the fabulous seventh floor. We've got floor-to-wall glass. It's a really good space. And there's coffee shops and what have you. You're just not allowed to eat in the library, apparently. Yes. So that's kind of interesting.
That sounds fantastic. Yeah.
Yeah, it's for astrologers who are halfway there or almost there, or anyone who's, it's not beginners. It's,
yeah.
So we're looking forward to launching that, and it's going to be happening in the Leo period of the year, which is great. Mm-hmm. Suits me dead fine. And we're planning to run them every 4 months in the fire signs in future.
Nice.
Intense workshops to get people up and running.
Fantastic.
So.
That's wonderful.
There you go.
Wonderful. All right, and that's on the 26th.
26th of July, 2014. Yes.
Yes. We'll have links to that up on the site. Yay. Well, what is happening the next 2 weeks up until the 26th?
Yes.
So first thing we've got on July 15th, that is Jupiter's going to be moving into Leo.
Yay! Thank goodness!
I know, right? It's been in Cancer forever. No offense to Cancer, but...
Really?
Wow. Yeah.
Are you looking forward to it? Because I've been waiting for this,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, exactly. If you feel like there's been like a giant soggy, you know, sponge sitting on your chest for like the last year, you can expect that to sort of ease up a bit, I think.
Yeah.
This is one way of putting it.
Jupiter will actually be able to pick up some traction in there.
Yeah.
And we may be all running ahead of ourselves, but we're going to get moving again.
Yeah, and running ahead of yourself isn't a bad keyword. For, you know, Jupiter and Leo.
Yes.
Some other ones I have are expressing yourself boldly, your chance to shine, go big or go home, and you've got to spend money to make money.
Go big or go home. That is fantastic. That's a good one because that's what it's about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So meanwhile, we've got Venus on the 18th moving into Cancer. Yes. And that is, Venus, I mean, you know, obviously it's going to be relationship oriented and also to do with finances. Mm-hmm. So that's a sensitive, soft-spoken, moody, caring, possessive, protective, clingy, needy, and emotional sort of energy.
Yes. Venus is in Cancer, you generally, you curb your spending. It really is a way to sort of say...
Yeah, the protection
sort of, yes, thing. You sort of, yeah. I don't want to say husband your money, but that's kind of the word. Yeah. That's an old-fashioned word, maybe.
Hoard.
Hopefully.
Hoard is the new word for that.
Rein it in.
Yeah. Cool. And, you know, that'll counteract the Jupiter and Leo nicely. Maybe. Little Venus to giant Jupiter.
Maybe. It depends what your chart looks like.
Yeah. I'm picturing an old-fashioned comic strip with, like, the, you know, big husband and, you know, and the little pecking wife. Kind of awful.
Yeah.
Awful. Okay. July 18th. Oh, that's it's our anniversary.
Is it?
Yeah, me and my our producer. Yay. 16 years. My goodness.
My goodness.
I know. And why am I advertising that?
I don't know. Well, congratulations.
Thank you. And we've got it's an action-packed day, astrologically speaking. Mercury is also going to be trining Neptune,
right,
which is a poetic, harmonious, soothing and seducing sort of aspect. You can use your words for seduction or for selling something or for expressing yourself harmoniously at that time.
Okay.
Yeah. And also at the same time, all in the same day, Sun square Mars, which is a bit more of an irritating, competitive, sort of impulsive kind of energy. So that's interesting.
It is. It's interesting when you've got the trine and the square on the same day because they're both going to want to hog.
Yeah.
Okay.
It'd be interesting to see how that works out. Mm-hmm. So then on the 20th of July, we have Saturn going direct, and it's been retrograde for a little while.
4 months?
Yes, thank you. So phew is the only word I've got written down for that. Mm-hmm. And then Uranus on the 21st is going to go retrograde. So.
Yes.
I don't know how much of a personal effect that has, generally speaking, but maybe in the world of external events and politics, there might be some.
Mm.
Although
it depends when Uranus is in your chart, really.
Okay. And then we've got Mercury opposed Pluto on the 21st as well.
Mm.
So that is an interesting.
So okay, what you got for that?
Well, I've got investigate deeper. The truth is out there.
You're going to hear the truth even if you don't like it.
Yeah. Secret agendas revealed.
Whoa.
Yeah. Yeah. Whether they are your secret agendas when you don't want them revealed or
revenue.
Yeah, something. Gosh. Yeah, so watch out on that day.
Mm.
Sun in Leo is going to be happening on the 22nd. Yay. So that is an awesome. Always one to look forward to. It's okay, dead center of summer is what that is.
Right. Yes.
It's the month anniversary of summer. Yeah.
The sun goes into Leo. That's where it rules. So it's good there.
Yes.
It's good for Leo. So that's just me.
Yeah.
And really it's good for everyone. It's party month.
In the Northern Hemisphere. Yes. Who is not happy in the summer? Even if it's too hot, you're still happy.
Yeah. Exactly. So it's going to, I think it's going to work well, and fire signs in general will benefit from that move.
Enjoy the spotlight, fall in love, express yourself, be loud and proud.
Mm-hmm.
And on the 23rd, we've got Venus trine Neptune.
Right.
Which is a romantic, imaginative, creative sort of aspect, seeing the best in your partner and others.
Okay.
And let's see, on the 24th, we've got another action-packed day. Sun conjunct Jupiter. Yeah.
Now that's interesting.
Yes. Yeah, definitely. So that is starting a little bit of a pile-up in Leo there. And just sort of expanding the expansion.
You know, if you're thinking of having a party or summer barbecue, that's got to be the day. I don't know what day of the week it would be. Mm. But clearly it's on a Thursday, because on the 26th, we picked that day for a reason. But anyway, Sun conjunct Jupiter, it's a big day for big ideas, big things, and get your big projects moving.
Definitely. Aim high. Grow your business. Grow your personal brand. Yeah. On the same day, we've got Mercury square Uranus and Mercury trine Saturn.
Mm.
So kind of cancel each other out almost.
Yes.
Squaring Uranus, we've got some sort of restless mind.
Yeah, that's not going to be good, because that means that Uranus and the Saturn are actually quincunx each other, so there's going to be tension between those two things.
Definitely, yeah. Yeah, watch out with your devices that day.
Yeah.
Watch out for drivers, your projects and things that that you're spinning in your head that seem like a fantastic idea, you might need to rein back in later.
But that Sun conjunct of Jupiter's not going to
take it lying down. It's not going to want to rein anything in, no. So that's
okay.
Yeah, but with the Mercury trine Saturn, at least that will sort of maybe bring a bit of organized rationality and deliberation into it. Yeah.
Okay.
A little bit more organized thinking, but it might just be a little much to.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's all happening on the 24th, and then the next day, the 25th, we've got Mars moving into Scorpio.
So it's happening.
Yes, right. It's all happening exactly, and Mars in Scorpio. That is, I'm picturing ninjas.
Yeah?
Yeah. That's what I picture when I think of Mars and Scorpio. sort of a strategic, it's more of a stealth than a force sort of energy for Mars. It's more about agility.
It's so much better than Mars has been in Libra all this time.
And oh, it's gosh. Really cool. Yeah, it's been forever. It's just, yeah. It's been.
So going into Scorpio being its own sign is yeah. a chance now too.
Definitely, yeah. And it's a good way of operating strength-wise. It's yeah. you know, because Mars is all about your use of power and your, well, you know, your way of projecting yourself in the world. So, and in Scorpio,
posturing.
Yeah. Yeah, so it's a, it, you know, Scorpio, it's about power, but it's about a comfortable power. It's not like a, you know, brash, like slicing things just for the sake of, it's not the off with their heads sort of, it's maybe off with his head, you know, to the side. And then the handler does it.
What do they say? That's saying, revenge is a dish best served cold.
Oh, yeah.
And that's a good one. For
definitely.
Those.
Machiavelli. Yeah. It's all, yeah, definitely. That's it. Strategy, patience, observation, stealth, and, yeah.
This really has got to be, you know, a period we've got this there going, particularly with this Jupiter Sun and the Mars going to Scorpio, where you, if you're ready and you know about these things coming up ahead, you can be poised to make changes and move forward in a big way. This is what it's saying.
Yeah. Yeah, especially with Mars having been, you know, in Libra and retrograde for so long as well.
So if you want to impress your boss at the company picnic, there's your Mercury trine Saturn. Use it. Yeah. Right? That kind of thing.
Definitely. Mm. To make a very, very stealthy sort of well-planned sort of smooth move. Yeah.
Definitely. Strategic.
Strategic, yeah.
Yeah. So what are you doing that week?
Oh, my goodness.
I don't know. It's a busy week. That July 21st is a busy week.
Yeah. So those are the transits. What's going on with the moon?
Yes, the moon. As we say, the moon is always moving.
It is.
We can keep an eye on it as well. So on July the 18th, we have the third quarter.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so we're coming down. We're still in the top bit. And that's in Aries. So... anyhow, so the moon is actually in the waning half of the cycle at this stage. And then on Saturday the 26th, we have a new moon in Leo.
Excellent.
So timing is everything. And that's just reinforcing this whole Jupiter, Sun, Moon is all going to be there. And if this happens to be a point in your chart or whatever the degree is, you're going to find that it's intense day. It's going to be a busy day. Well, the sun will have just moved into Leo, so probably the first 5 degrees or so. In fact, it tells me where the new moon's going to be right here in front of me if I read my notes. 3 degrees 52.
Oh.
So call it 4 degrees.
Yeah.
If you've got stuff at 4 degrees Leo, you're going to have the sun, Jupiter, and a new moon all happening at once.
That's interesting. I have absolutely nothing. Well, maybe there's an asteroids or something, but our producer has midheaven right there at... 3:49 Leo.
Wow. Then he's going to have his name in lights. His name is going to be known.
Excellent.
We're finally... it's going to be known. It's going to be out there, right?
Mm-hmm.
Personally, for Leo, is my ascendant. So, you're never going to hear the end of me, are you? It's just never going to end. Look, I've had a quiet month when... the sun was in Cancer, but during this period, it's still going to pick up.
Well, that makes sense, doesn't it, with it being in your 12th house?
It's exactly what it is, right? Yeah. But this is all coming together, and you've got Jupiter there at the new moon. You need to be ready. I think people need to have, like, got your groceries in, done your ironing. You've got to be ready, because things are going to open up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
I don't know what. Maybe your new businesses are going to... creativity is going to just...
yeah.
And I'm waving here at Arwen because she's created some rather interesting garments lately.
Well, yes. And you say that as though it was something provocative with the spaghetti.
I'm happy to discuss it if you are.
I'm happy to discuss it. Jackets. I've been making jackets. I've made like 3 jackets in the last month.
And you're going to find that during this period, if you want to actually launch or go somewhere with that and you're ready, this is what the beauty of astrology is. We can look ahead and say, that's going to be an incredibly creative, busy, pushy month. A promotional week.
Mm-hmm.
So let's not be doing the ironing and you know, let's have things ready so we're ready to move forward. That's all I'm trying to say.
Yeah. Excellent.
So get your highlights done the week before because you're going to, Should.
Totally. Excellent.
Anyway, that's enough about me. See, this is what happens around the sun goes into Leo.
Well, it's wonderful. I've been waiting for you to come out of the shell.
Right.
Okay, well, our topic, our 360, is one we've actually had on the books for a while.
We've had this on the back burner, haven't we? And this time we're talking about
The North and South Node.
The North and South Node.
And do you have a good scientific sort of, well, quasi-scientific explanation for that? For I don't have, you always have these wonderful sort of, you know, astronomical models in your head where you can describe them very nicely. And I just flounder a little bit when it comes to that.
Okay, so imagine you've got two hula hoops. Yeah. One is red and
here
one is...
Here we go.
Here we go. One is red.
Yeah.
And that's the sun's path, horizontal. Okay. And the other one is blue. And that's the moon's path.
Okay.
And it's angled at 5 degrees to each
What's
other.
What's in the center? Is that us? Earth?
Yes.
Okay. No, I'm just, you know.
So you've got these two, you've got these two paths. The sun's path is the one hula hoop.
Yeah.
And the moon's path is the other one.
Okay.
And where the two cross are where the nodes occur. The south node when the moon's moving south, and the north node where the moon's moving north. So as the sun comes around its hula hoop once a year, we have a node every 6 months.
Excellent.
Is that the sort of thing you were thinking?
Exactly. That's precisely.
Do you know, I'll do a diagram.
I'm picturing it, really well with that. That's awesome. And yeah, the diagram to put on the site would be perfect.
So the idea is that the node is just a point in space where two paths cross, but there is no actual planet there.
Right. Yes. Okay. But so there's a lot of mathematical points and things like that in astrology.
Yes.
These are things that we include in the charts, and some of them we don't, and the parts of fortune and the parts of, you know, all these different parts and whatnot.
We must have a new thing on that one, too.
Yeah, exactly. I'll have to study up for that one. But the nodes, these are actually, and correct me if I'm wrong here, but I believe that these are in both Vedic and Western astrology. Am I correct in that?
But it occurs regardless. It's an astronomical.
But it's a point that's actually considered, you know.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Yes, yeah. They have Rehu and Ketu,
right,
which is the North Node and South Node.
So they're considered very important in both.
Yes.
They're shared.
It's a sensitive point, we like to say.
Yeah, and these, what are they said to signify? So the North Node is, depending on if we're talking evolutionary astrology or sort of a more psychological, right? They do sort of vary a bit in the meaning. But basically, they're opposing points. So they're always going to be, you know, exactly opposite each other.
In your chart, they're going to be exactly opposite each other. And the nodes actually move as, so everyone will have a different node position.
Yeah.
Okay.
And so, like, let's say if yours was, you know, 2 degrees Aries,
yes,
the north node. So your south node would be 2 degrees Libra,
yes,
automatically.
Exactly. Because the two hula hoops.
Yeah. So they'll always be exactly the opposite,
yes,
of each other. And they are said to signify where you're headed and where you're coming from.
Mm-hmm.
Your sort of your calling in life, your soul's journey, path.
Your destiny.
Versus,
that's the north node, right?
Yeah, the north node. And then the south node is sort of what you've come into this life with.
So with the south node being in, the south node could be in any sign.
Yeah, Cancer in mine.
And so you've got the south node in Cancer and therefore you're bringing... all your female ancestors' stuff in.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Big time. Totally.
And I do see that in you.
Yeah.
So then we would consider the North Node to be what your destiny is, where you're aiming for.
Yeah.
I try to, when I'm teaching astrology, I try to keep it a little simpler, because otherwise people are not getting it. And your past is your... The south node is the past, and then the north node is the future.
Yeah, because your past, it could be your family history, it could be your, you know, like what you bring in from childhood, what you bring in from past life, what you bring in from just,
that's,
you know,
right,
growing
and,
up where you did.
And because the moon's nodes come from the moon,
yeah,
if we didn't have the moon, we wouldn't have the nodes. That's why it's very much connected to the past and where you're coming from, and it's charged.
Totally.
So, yeah.
And yours are? Where?
North node in Libra, south node in Aries. And you see, with your chart, it depends if you have conjunctions to the nodes, because those are important.
Yeah.
Do you agree?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. I did an online seminar with Stephen Forrest recently.
You really?
Well, not like in person. It was one of those, I downloaded it afterwards and I paid for
it.
Oh,
yes, yes.
You know,
a
but
webinar,
it was early in the morning on Saturday, and I thought, oh, I'll get up in time. And then I didn't get up in time. But And so I waited, and then it was available afterwards, and I was like happy. And it was really great. It was about squares to the nodes, though. And it was super interesting.
Because he's an evolutionary astrologer, so for him the nodes is the be all and end all, right?
Yeah, totally.
Okay, so...
So it was very interesting.
What was the take-home from that?
Well, I have... And now I'm going to have to look at my chart again.
Okay. But you know what? The squares are important, because if there's a square to both nodes, it creates a T-square.
Yeah.
And neither can dominate.
Yeah.
So any planet that squares your node is important.
Yeah. Yeah.
If you had that, if we had a chart in front of us, we could even have a look. But
I have Pluto square the nodes. And also Venus.
Yeah. Do you, but gosh.
That was a look of, I don't know, it was almost like pity and...
No, I just... No, I'm just reeling under it all.
Really?
So much to say, so little time.
Yeah, Pluto and Venus.
Okay, so what does he say about the nodes then? Is that what you want to talk about?
Well, no, but shout out to Stephen Forrest, obviously.
He's okay.
A god and among, you know, astrologers and a wonderful person. And it was very, it was great. And I couldn't quote anything from it, like, as we speak right now.
Right.
Because, I wasn't prepared for that. I just suddenly remembered, oh yeah, I did this. It was like a month ago.
Let me tell our listeners that Arwen's been banging on for us to do the nodes for ages.
I know. Well, I have this whole 2-page, you know, actually 3-page now, bunch of notes about them. So yeah.
Okay.
And I've just been adding and adding and adding.
Okay.
Since we've had this on the back burner. But yeah, I wasn't prepared to talk about that because I just don't remember all of a sudden. But it was great. It's still available on his website, I think. But anyways, the whole point of, you know. So we won't talk about my notes at the moment, but okay. They might come up again.
Okay.
But what I do have here is a list of placements and what they might,
okay.
You know, just for fun.
All right.
Because I thought we'd drag some pop culture kicking and screaming into the conversation
like we
tend to do. And I've got two lists for the price of one, just like the nodes.
Okay.
Okay. So the first one is True Tales of the North Node through the 12 houses and the people who live there.
Okay.
Okay. And so the thing with the nodes is that it's always an opposition. It's always, you know, push-pull, past, future, the path of light, the path of darkness. Not really, but, you know. It's the thing that you're supposed to be steering towards and the thing that is sort of dragging you back. Not,
yes.
You know, not dragging yes. you, kicking
yes.
you, but dragging you back in the sense that it's comfortable. You're used to it. It's something that you've already come in with the expertise in. You've supposedly mastered. And then, you know, if we're doing with the past life model, you've mastered in a previous life. You've already done, noting Cancer. That's a thing I've got under my belt. And then I, you know, come into this life and, oh, Capricorn, scary, you know. I've got to be the CEO or whatever that is, you know, commander in chief kind of thing. And how terrifying is that? You know, for me, I just get chills even, you know, just saying those words. But other people.
But this is why it's so interesting that if you actually do have planets conjunct, say, your south node, and you can convert that planet into a person, they will hold you back. Say you have a planet conjunct your south node.
I do.
And
yeah.
Okay. Well, say it was, I don't know what you have.
Saturn, for example.
What?
Saturn.
Okay. So then it's an older man or whatever it is, tends to hold you back. And when you have a planet against your north node, say you have Mars, then a younger man will tend to, say, lead you into the future.
My goodness. Like Guinevere.
Yes. And you never know what you're going to say in this. But the idea is that if you actually do have planets that you can signify as people in your lives, depending if it's third house, is your brothers and sisters or your moon and blah, 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 you can then say, yes, this person is constantly saying, do you really think you can do that? Are you really good enough?
Right.
And they can hold you back, whereas people on your north node will say, come on, you can do it.
Right. And it can even be an internalized voice in because it's obviously...
Yes.
I know
so
people
it depends
who,
what house it's in, because the odd houses indicate people.
Definitely, yeah. Like, for example, my grandmother, she's got this art teacher that she had in, I believe it was college or high school.
Uh-huh.
I think college. And she will say his name, like... You know, when she was teaching me how to draw, and I was like 5 years old, she would say, and Mr. Blackwell says, and I'm like, what? You know, who says that? And, but just, you know, the super ego, this drawing teacher, the voice of, you know, of correction and precision and anatomical correctness and constantly in her head, you know, correcting her and saying, well, does that look right to you? You know, look at that. Look, you know, where's
and
that
does
angle?
Does she have it on her node or something?
Well, I'm just saying it as an example.
Oh, yes.
I see what you're saying. I need to look at her chart and I'm not sure what, you know.
Okay.
But you know what I mean? That's an example of someone who, that would be a Saturnian possibly, or Jupiterian even, internalized voice, big time.
And if you have your sun on the south node, you're actually holding yourself back.
Yeah.
So when you're doing interpretation, it's you've got to explain that so people, if you know about it, you can work through it.
Yeah, it's not just, you know, point fingers and be like, oh, you've got that sky hanging over you.
Ever.
Yeah, but once you're aware of something, you can...
Yeah, it's that type of thing, what I'm trying to say with the nodes, that totally. One is saying, whoa, brake, the other saying accelerator.
Yeah.
You've only got one foot, you can,
Totally. And it might not even be, you might not be aware of it as a limitation.
Yes.
You might think of it as just you're doing what's comfortable.
Yes.
But that's, in astrology, that's not always a good thing, usually.
And many people hesitate in life to actually do or follow the path that they really want to do.
Yeah.
And they say, oh, can I really, or should I do it, or what would neighbors think? And you've got all this kind of stuff. And this is the baggage that you get in the South Node.
Right. And even that, you're externalizing. You're saying, oh, the neighbors. Well, who are the neighbors? You don't have the same neighbors your whole life,
I know, but you have,
But they're inside your head. They're in there.
Yes.
In there. Totally.
So where your South Node is, house-wise, will tell you who's likely to or what is likely to rein it in for you.
Right. So, okay. So, so for these placements, these North Node in the whatever house placements, these are basically lists of people, famous people and people in history, and the sort of life path that they have either done some amazing, living the first house sort of dream, or they've kind of done a kind of weird thing with it and it's twisted it and, not really lived it up to its full potential as we would see it. Or just something like that.
So the people with the first house, is that where we're going?
So yeah, we're going to go through the houses and basically I have a list of famous people for each house. We can chat about the ones that we agree on or that seem meaningful. Okay, so my first the first house is what I'm calling the superstar or supernova house. And so for this house, I've got Martin Luther King, and these are all people that have the North Node in the first house.
Okay,
Martin Luther King, Leonardo da Vinci, Oprah Winfrey, Nelson Mandela, Joseph Stalin. Mm. James Dean, Beethoven, Michael Jordan, and Amy Winehouse.
Wow.
So we've got some people who just, supernova streaks across the sky very quickly, but emblazoned a path of whatever. And then, people like Leonardo da Vinci, who just a lasting impression in so many ways on our daily lives.
500 years on and we're still...
Exactly. Yeah. And you get the sense that Martin Luther King will be the same way, that 500 years from now, we will still, there will still be... mention of him, on an almost daily basis, probably.
Mm-hmm.
Probably not so much Amy Winehouse, no offense whatsoever to her, but, but a supernova in her sphere, definitely. And then just like gone like that. And James Dean, same thing. So that's the first house. And neither of those is the right way to do the first house, but it's an interesting sort of difference. And these were people that I just found listed under these nodes in my little search thing. So, and I found... Basically, I actually did these searches without having a preconceived idea of what these people should. I wasn't looking for people who have big egos. Well, of course, anyone that's going to be listed, they'll be famous, blah blah blah. But I found interesting patterns. That's the whole point of it.
Okay.
So second house, and these are the people that. Well, actually, I'm going to say the theme afterwards, and I'll just list them first. Okay. So second house: Madonna, Catherine Zeta-Jones, Sharon Tate, Elvis Presley, Brigitte Bardot, Napoleon, Eminem, Robert De Niro, Muhammad Ali, Walt Disney. And I'm calling this the self-made men and trophy wives house.
They came from nowhere, yeah?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, interesting. And a lot of them just literally rags to riches, like Eminem. I mean, just,
Even Madonna, she actually came from nowhere. And even today, apparently, I was reading last week that she's still... like writes her own checks herself, and she doesn't let anyone take over her money at all. She's totally in control.
Totally,
of her financial life.
Yeah,
which is second house.
Definitely, second house being not just finances but values, like what you what you value.
Well, look at Disney.
Yeah,
all their movies are family. Values. They've got a message. And,
yeah, definitely. And he was like the Henry Ford of family values. So there's that. Okay, so third house, John F. Kennedy, Che Guevara, Carlos Castaneda, René Descartes, FDR, Mao, Copernicus, and Vladimir Putin, Julian Assange, and yourself.
Yes,
exactly.
Yes, third house.
So I'm calling this the Democratizers and Demagogues house. So an interesting smattering there of people who, the power of... ideas, the power of words, for good or ill. lasting impression. Yes. So the fourth house: Steve Jobs, Marie Antoinette, Ernest Hemingway, Ronald Reagan, Silvio Berlusconi, Frank Sinatra, and Rupert Murdoch.
Uh huh.
Yeah, I'm calling this the Expatriates and Empire Builders House.
Okay.
So we've got people who, almost all these people who became famous for their impact on a nation that was not the nation of their birth.
Okay.
One interesting pattern that I noticed, and for impressing their will in a way on the people Okay, so fifth house. This is an interesting one. Angelina Jolie, Mother Teresa, Bill Gates, Picasso, Woody Allen, Roman Polanski, Sinead O'Connor, and Norman Rockwell.
Uh-huh.
So I'm calling this the Pied Pipers and Predators house.
Yeah. So
we've got people who have either, you know, made it their mission in life to sort of save the children, or not so much. sixth house. Abbé Pierre, who's basically the French Mother Teresa. Uh-huh. Orphanages, whatnot, all these humanitarian sort of efforts. John Lennon, Sigmund Freud, John Travolta, Osama bin Laden, Noam Chomsky, and Jane Addams.
Okay.
I'm calling this the Humanitarians and Zealots House.
Okay. Gosh, you have spent some time thinking about these.
No, it's tragic. This definitely haven't gotten into the ones with the movies yet. But So that's the sixth house. And so humanitarians and peace and all education represented on the one side, and you know, democratizing architecture on, you know, Jane Addams and all that. And then we've got the sort of zealot side with Osama and not to put John Travolta in the same house, you know. but you know, sort of a religious sort of fervor definitely can go along with this placement. And yeah. Seventh house. Jackie Kennedy Onassis, Hillary Clinton, Grace Kelly, Barack Obama, the Dalai Lama, and Elizabeth I.
So
I'm calling this the Power Partnerships and Sacred Solitude House.
They married a power. Okay.
Yeah, or they took a vow of chastity and gave themselves to the state.
Yeah.
So there's that. Eighth house: Abraham Lincoln, Albert Einstein, Princess Di, Kurt Cobain, Winston Churchill. Senna, the race car driver who tragically died but he was the last race car driver to die in an IndyCar accident. Mm-hmm. Because after that, they put in all these, you know, safety regulations that they just hadn't gotten around to doing. Because
I think it was Formula One, actually.
Formula One, that's what I meant, yeah. But the last of those tragic accidents, and two people, I think, died on that day, same day, like just awful. It used to be the most dangerous form of racing. I remember that when I was in school, like, it was constant. You'd watch these races and then just cars would, you know, smash into the thing and just fly into a million pieces. And not one of them has died since his death, which is, you know, I think that's a really interesting thing. Oh, okay. And Joan of Arc also in this category, Vladimir Lenin and George Washington.
Okay.
So that is an interesting kind of, you know, cross-section of people, but I'm calling it the Conquerors and Sacrificial Scapegoats House.
Okay.
So we've got people who either died young and tragically, but for a purpose in a weird way, or who commanded, you know,
great
armies and caused, you know, millions of people to die, but for a good cause in a weird way.
Yes, of course, young men to die. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, definitely. So there's that. Ninth house, Adolf Hitler. It's always good to start with that. Rasputin, Bob Dylan, Maria Callas, Aleister Crowley, Michelangelo, and Oscar Wilde. So I'm calling this Divine Inspiration and Masters of Manipulation.
Uh-huh.
Hmm. That's all there is to say about that one. The 10th house: Coco Chanel, Donald Trump, Andy Warhol, Jane Fonda, Robert Redford, Gandhi, Charles Manson, and Sarah Palin.
Right.
I'm calling this the Corporations of One and Legends in Their Own Mind House.
It's the Donald, eh?
Yeah.
I mean, they're building that massive tower here in Vancouver, right?
I wonder if it's going to be feng shui as well, just like the one in New York.
I don't know, it's Trump Towers going up.
Yeah. Well, the bigger the better, is all I have to say about that.
Really?
Well, you know, I'm all for skyscrapers.
Okay.
They seem weird, but yeah. I just figure if you're going to do it, why not just Make it as tall as you can, you know, really.
Okay.
Yeah. And, I mean, you know, we've got this whole, like, ergonomic city thing going where there has to be, you know, sight lines and whatnot. And if you're right in the center of the city, though, I think, why not just go as high as you can?
Oh, I see. That's what I think. I see what you're saying.
It's not going to block my view. I mean, view of a city, you know, cityscape is beautiful as far as I'm concerned. Bigger the better, you know, more people can see it from farther away.
Yeah, there's nothing going to block your view at all, is there? Yeah. I mean, they're building that new building outside our place, and we're taking photos every... Well, I hope to.
Oh, yeah. That's only going to be like 7 or 10.
16 stories. 16? Yeah. So we'll still see over it.
Yeah. That's interesting. I saw that just yesterday, actually. I didn't realize it had gone up as high as it had. Yeah. Once they've actually gotten, you know, starting on the floors, it goes up super fast. All right, 11th house. Arnold Schwarzenegger, George W. Bush, Lady Gaga, Camilla Parker Bowles, Charles Darwin, Joan Crawford, and Cary Grant.
Uh-huh.
And I'm calling this the Social Darwinists and Cinderella Stories.
The Social Darwinists.
And Regular Darwinists.
And Regular Darwinists.
Yeah.
I love Darwin.
Yeah. Oh, well, who doesn't? Yeah.
Oh, I don't know, but yeah.
Well, maybe that one Lamarck guy. Oh, a little biologist humor there. Okay. I thought that was an interesting house.
We missed your house coming through this.
I've got Northern and Capricorn, which is, you know, the 10th house and Capricorn are similar, but not the same. Third house. Northern and the third house.
Me too.
Really?
That's right, we are.
Wonderful. Yay.
We got that sorted out.
Exactly. And the last one, the 12th house. Marilyn Monroe, Pamela Anderson, Johnny Depp, Vincent Van Gogh, Nikola Tesla, Frida Kahlo, Farrah Fawcett, Howard Hughes, and Philip Seymour Hoffman.
What is it? Physically?
Sex symbols and mad geniuses.
Okay.
Yeah. Been a while.
Yeah.
That is my list of houses.
So how do you feel the North Node plays out in your third house?
Oh, gosh. I mean, well, if I have to have the North Node in Capricorn, which is, you know, it's just weird and anomalous to my personality. I don't feel like Capricornian, you know? But that is the thing with the 10th, or the, you know, the North Node, is that it's not tension, but it's sort of forcing you out of your comfort zone. That's the whole idea of it. So it makes sense that it's not something that I have anything else in, and, you know, that's sort of fitting for me. But if it's in the third house, which it is, it's the house of communication and writing and all these things that I do feel, comfortable with. Yeah, exactly. So that's the way I think of it. If I have to have it in Capricorn, at least it's in communication. So
yeah, okay.
I can do that.
Good.
Thank goodness. Yeah. There's also, you know, what sign they're in, which is obviously, that's less of a personal thing because it stays there for how long?
I believe it's 17 months. Yes. It takes 16 years or 19 years to get around.
Yeah, something like that. Like a year and a half-ish.
Yes.
Let's say. Yeah, which is, you know, I mean, that's a while. It's not like a generational kind of thing, but it's...
But the nose retrograde, we need to say that as
well. Oh, yeah, they move backwards, totally. So
in the wherever they are at the moment, they on the like the week they change from one sign to the other. There's quite a shift then as well.
Yeah.
And a lot of the time, it's the real estate market moves with the nodal.
Interesting.
Yes, it's cool to because it comes from the moon.
Right.
Yeah. So fashions in foodie and all of those things come and shift as the nodes pass by.
Yeah. The people, you know, that cluster into the houses. That was a definite obvious thing for me. But when I did a search for people that have their north node in a certain sign, it was much more scattered personality-wise.
Yes, yes.
So the way I sort of characterized the north node and the south node in signs was more like with movies. This is how I sort of grasped it. And so what movies exemplify that?
Let's hear what I want.
So for the north node in Aries, that's the fighter, basically. For that, I have Gladiator, Rocky, G.I. Jane, and Red Sonja. So these are archetypes.
I love it. You've got to tell a story.
Exactly. And this is exactly it. This is the story of this archetype.
All right.
And then, you know, obviously the opposite of Aries is Libra. So Libra, North Node, the movies for that, the lover as opposed to the fighter. For that, I have Princess Bride, All of Me, which is an interesting one because they're sharing the same body and it's a love story. And, and Jerry Maguire for... Uh-huh. You know, for the tots.
Okay.
Clark Gable and
you clearly watch more movies than I do. I don't know what to say.
What's your favorite romantic movie?
I don't know. You know, the last movie I saw at the cinema, and I'd have to say it was James Bond.
All right. Oh, yeah.
But that's another story.
Taurus, the dilettante, as opposed to Scorpio, the detective.
Okay.
So in North Node in Taurus, we've got Chocolat, the Thomas Crown Affair, and Pretty Woman, which is also about, it's about love, but it's also about beauty. It's about, you know, using the right fork and, you know, wear the right dress, get the guy, that whole thing.
That's right.
Yeah, beauty will save the day. And for the detective, for Scorpio, movies with Thorn Scorpio, Silence of the Lambs, Fight Club, and Eyes Wide Shut, which I hated when I first saw it, but I've come to love it because I read a very brilliant article describing how it's actually not about what you think it's about, it's actually about money, which makes so much sense to me, and is such a Scorpio Taurus oppositional thing, and it's just, and especially the whole using sex as a smokescreen for talking about money and class, which we can't talk about in America and North America, whatever, you know. Brilliant.
Okay.
So that is Scorpio, North Node. In Gemini, Sagittarius axis, Gemini is the storyteller, and Sagittarius is the truth seeker. For movies with the North Node in Gemini, Good Night and Good Luck, Frost Nixon, and Memento. And Memento is an interesting one because his memory is such that he can only retain things for like 2 minutes. He has to write things on his body to remember them, and he's trying to solve a murder mystery, but then it kind of, he begins tricking himself, and it's such a Gemini thing because it's all, you know, how much can you even really trust your own mind and, you know, the stories that you tell yourself versus, you know, blah, blah, blah. So there's that. And of course, Frost Nixon and Good Night and Good Luck, just great sort of muckraking, you know, journalist, swashbuckling hero sort of thing, which is very sort of mental and wonderful. And then for Sagittarius, I have Indiana Jones.
Isn't that, yes.
Archetypally, you know.
No, I saw
and
that
he's
one.
A professor, but he's a professor with a whip and
yes, you know, adventurer. Okay.
Totally, yeah. And saving history and the relics and, you know, and of course it's always about things that have curses on them, which is, you know, brings in the whole weird religious, you know, multicultural, all of that in history. Life of Pi.
Right.
And Dogma, which is all about religion and, you know, the weirdnesses of religion and all those are very Sagittarian themes. Okay, Cancer Capricorn axis. This is the caregiver versus the CEO.
Uh-huh.
Yes. So for the Cancer North Node, I've got Mask with Cher.
Yes.
Terms of Endearment. And Juno.
Okay.
Yeah. That is Cancer. And then for Capricorn, I've got the Hudsucker Proxy, The Edge, which was the one with Alec Baldwin and Anthony Hopkins, and the bear. They're out in the, it's the old man versus the young man, and they're sort of vying for the affections of the woman, you know. And Fog of War was the other one I had for that. Not all Capricorn lessons are going to be like The Edge, yeah. You can't always win. Sometimes you just have the wisdom. You have to make do with the wisdom. And then the Leo Aquarius axis, the performer versus the pioneer.
Uh-huh.
So for the Leo North Node, I've got Fame.
Yes.
Hairspray.
Yes.
And Shakespeare in Love.
Yes.
For the Aquarius North Node, 2001 A Space Odyssey.
Yes.
Avatar.
Yes.
And Contact. And yes, they're all science fiction, but they're all, you know, slightly different sort of science fiction. And for the last pairing of Virgo Pisces, The Service-Driven Life versus The Death Dream. And the movies for the Virgo North Node are Groundhog Day. It's all about repeating the same thing over and over and over in this parochial thing that you just, every day until you are perfect. And only then can you move forward.
Whoa.
Yeah, and you move through the valley of death and the valley of suicide and the valley of driving your car over the cliff a million times. And then you come back to perfecting yourself and cleansing yourself in the waters of whatever. And then you can get the girl and the whole town and everything you ever wanted in one day. The Help.
Yes.
Because it's about writing, it's about bringing the story, but it's also about service and help and women. Vera Drake. And Wall-E.
Yes.
How perfect of a Virgo fable is that? You know? Okay. Pisces North Node, Mulholland Drive, Donnie Darko, The Fall, and Dead Man.
Whoa.
And my mother had the same look on her face as you. She's like, I don't know any of those movies. I was like, yes, you do.
When do you watch all these movies?
but the thing with all these movies that unites them is that they're all sort of weird and surreal, and you kind of go, what? And maybe the first time you see them, you're baffled, and maybe you're angry, and you kind of go, what? have I been duped? What's going on here? But then you watch it again, or you go online and you are so angry that you've been forced to watch this movie and David Lynch has sent it to you again. And then you find a forum where all these other people have come together and they've answered each other's questions and they've come up with the actual meaning of the movie. And you read it for like 3 days and then you go watch it again and you're like, wow, that's amazing. So sometimes it's a participatory thing, which is also very Pisces, because you're bringing in, it's not just you anymore. It's not just your own little interpretation, yes, or even yes. the director's vision, or even what the director intended. Sometimes it's about the collective truth, which can only be pieced together through toil and reflection.
Well, what an interpretation.
Yeah.
Excellent, excellent, excellent.
Yes, and my mother has some rebuttals to those. She had a few other suggestions, and I was like, but I haven't seen those movies. I don't know.
Oh, those movies you haven't seen?
No, I've seen these. Her suggestions I haven't seen. Yes, she said, what about The Tree of Life? And I'm like, I haven't seen The Tree of Life. So I'm sure that one is a good candidate for Pisces North Node, which she has, by the way. This is why she's so forceful in her refuting of my selections. But she's seen these movies, too, and she does like them, so I don't know. I was going to say The Cell, too, but there's another one that's like, you know, going into someone else's dream to solve a serial killer murder thing. And, you know, you've actually gone into the serial killer's dream so that you can kill him by drowning him, which is so Piscean. To save the girls. It's always to save the girls.
Yeah. Well, that's an excellent way of looking at the North Node and South Node in the signs.
Yeah. You got to personalize these things for you. You know, yeah, this is how we make meaning.
Exactly. We've got to make meaning of it all, because otherwise it's very difficult.
Yeah.
Don't you think?
Mm. So we have a couple of book reviews, though, or at least one.
We do.
Yeah.
Do you have a
book? You have an actual book.
I actually have a book.
I have North Node books, but I've done reviews of them already.
This doesn't say North Node. This is this book is called The Node Book, by Zipporah Pottinger Dobbins.
That is a name and a half.
Yes. You've heard of her?
Yeah.
PhD inside. Oh. So this is The Notebook, and this is actually it's in its fifth probably. It's been going for years, this book. It was this is my second copy over the years, what can I say? But this is interesting because she talks not only about the moon's nodes, but she talks about the planetary nodes.
Oh wow.
Which is incredibly interesting.
Yeah. Well, how does that work? Because the north and south nodes, they're made by the sun and the moon.
Yes.
And they cross each other. So yes. What do the other planets cross?
Well, all the planets are angled to the sun's path.
Right. So it's the sun and Venus, the sun and Mars, the sun and...
Yes, it's where the, where Mars goes, Mars south node is where it crosses the sun's path going south.
Got it.
The only difference is that... Well, the big difference is that because the moon goes around the Earth, they're always opposite because we're in the middle.
Yeah.
But with the planets, where we're viewed, there's the sun, there's Venus.
Yeah.
The nodes are not opposite when the planetary nodes.
Yeah.
So they're in specific positions, and the closer to the sun they get, the closer the node becomes on the hula hoop.
Yeah.
So, anyway.
Yeah. I'm going to need a whole other metaphorical diagram for that.
So I don't know, my software doesn't actually pull the planetary nodes into the chart, but they're listed here anyway, but so if you're interested. Anyway, so she talks about each of the planetary nodes, north and south, and what they generally mean. She's got this fat handy-dandy table at the back here where you can find out where your Mars node, Mars south node was, and so on. And she talks about what we've spoken about, with the nodes of the moon, the Aries, Libra, the axes, and the houses, and so on. And it's just generally an interesting book. It's not a beginner's book either.
Mm.
It's one where you sort of you get to it in your travels on astrology. But if you are interested in working with the planetary nodes, and one would be interested if they were conjunct a planet in your chart.
Right, I see, yeah.
Which none of them are for me, so it never interests me. It's that simple. But if you may find that you've got the Venus South Node is on your ascendant or something, you can work that.
And that's you'd do that just like it was a part or something. Like it was
exactly. You'd use it like it was the North or South Node, and you would tend to want to work it in a Venusian way. Mm. If you knew it was there, it's not going to be the first thing you notice, and it's not generally printed on a birth chart.
Yeah.
But if you're talking intermediate to advanced astrology, then you would want to know where these nodes are,
yeah.
especially things like the Pluto node and that kind of thing, which is in Capricorn. Pluto's moving towards it, yeah. but we're not there yet. So stuff like that, if you've got the mind, if you find nodes are interesting because of the astronomy.
Yeah. I just find them interesting because of the metaphors, more so.
You do? I do. Like the story behind
it? I like the story behind it, yeah. It turns out, I didn't know that that's what I liked about it until I was doing the research for this one, and I realized, wow.
And now you're turning into quite a node person, are you?
Well, it's just, yeah, the stories are great. You know, and I guess also because I sort of do find it, you know, it resonates in my own story, whatever. If it didn't, I guess maybe I would find it less meaningful, which is another sort of pitfall. But
this is it. And you find if you've got planets on the node, they talk to you better.
Yeah.
Because it will be conjunct your Saturn and that will be opposite your Saturn. So you've actually got a connection to the node.
Right. And I guess with my, you know, Venus and Pluto square the nodes too, you know, that...
Do you have that?
I have, yeah. Yeah. Venus and Pluto both are square.
Are they opposite in your chart?
They're conjunct.
Conjunct?
Not the site, you know, they're like 8-something degrees, but it's conjunction. But yeah, so I mean, maybe that's why I find
that's playing out. Yeah,
yeah, through that sort Venus. Of yeah. Pluto, you know, meaning of life sort of thing, and then Venus being, you know, Venus. So I find the story, you know,
the woman in your
compelling internet.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah,
you know, and Pluto's your chart ruler, as I recall.
Yeah,
blah blah blah. It all weaves together and tells a story.
Yeah,
because they're connected to your nodes. Because when I do interpretations, they've either got to be planets either need to be conjunct your nodes or square. Otherwise, I don't even bother going there.
Interesting. Yeah.
Because of the fact that it's an axis, so if you've got a trine, it's not the same at all.
Yeah.
So. Mm-hmm. So that's.
Is there any like a little excerpty thing that you'd like to read us?
Okay, I could.
Find something that's
flick
like a
through
snippet
here.
Of
for instance, what can we say? So I'm just reading straight here off the page.
Well, if we'll put it to a random page, perfect.
Yeah. We expect the unexpected, the innovative, the adventurous, the humanitarian or the crackpot revolutionary from Uranus, and the geocentric nodes are no exceptions.
Hmm.
Okay. The boy who kept running away from home has already been mentioned clearly earlier in the book, with his strong aspects involving the nodes of Uranus and Mars. Mm. Similar Mars-Uranus node aspects figure in the charts of suicide. Who knew I was going to read that?
That's fascinating.
So you do need to consider the aspects between your nodes, this node with that node.
Yeah.
And therefore, this really is advanced. You need to just get the book, pick up when your nodes are, write them in your chart and see if you've got any aspects between your nodes. Yeah. You might have two nodes together because they do move.
Yeah.
Drastically, if you highlight it in a yellow pencil when it's your nodes, for instance. So I could maybe say, for instance, with Mercury and my particular chart, the north node is at 29 Cancer, 51, I mean, heavens. And the south node is at 11 Virgo. So you see they're close together because they're round where the sun is because it's Mercury nodes.
Right, so you might have one conjunct something but not the other. So like
yes.
Yeah.
So that's what makes them interesting.
Yeah.
So even though I say I don't have planets at these actual positions, I know at 29:51 we've got Regulus, the fixed star.
Oh, yeah.
So that's on that in my chart. So maybe I can work something in there somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
But if you have time,
yeah,
it's definitely worth a look. So that is The Notebook by Zipporah Bottinger-Dobbins.
Interesting. Very good. Mm. Very well done. Well, the book that I have, it's I can't even remember where I got this, but it's by David Riley. R-A-I-L-E-Y, and it's The Soul Purpose. It's all about nodes. It's also about
What's the title again?
The Soul Purpose.
Okay.
And it's all about the north and south node. And it basically is, it's much more of like, there's no math, there's no astronomy in it. It's basically, here are a bunch of tables, find your birthday, pick your chapter, and go and read about
it. Go with it. And we're highlighted. You're ready for this.
I've highlighted every single one. Because I went through a fanatical period when I first discovered the nodes. And this is like 12 years ago or something. And I went and I've written all the names of people that I knew that are each one.
Really?
You're like looking at me open mouth like, that's crazy.
I must tell our listeners that this book that she's flicking at me looks like it's brand new. Not 12 years old.
Oh, to me it's just like, it's so long ago. And yeah, I got
so would you like to read us a little
like
excerpt?
Three printers ago. Yeah, okay. I will totally read an excerpt. I will read, just being narcissistic here, I will read an excerpt from the North Node in Capricorn.
Okay, this is you.
Here this we is are. Me. So, sometimes it's hard to believe you're an adult. This is storytelling. You know, this is what I liked about this one. Your reflection catches you off guard. You smile knowingly at the illusion in your eye, and an eye winks back at you, the eye of a child. Even the most stoic among you are sentimental and forever children. It's taken a lot of time and effort to convince the kid in you that you could make it as an adult, and at times they're just waiting for you to fail at something so they can laugh. They, meaning you, were reluctant to hand over the control of your life to some adult, especially yourself. Yet, the better you manage things, the more the child you are, learn to trust the adult you've become. So that is interesting.
How do you feel about that?
I feel that that's semi-true. True, true, yes. Embarrassing.
Do you feel you're being dragged, clicking and screening it into the adult world?
Oh, in some things, certainly, yeah. I mean, I've had jobs ever since, you know, I was in school. I had after school jobs.
You had to
jobs
grow up and, early.
You know, not in the sense of like I had to whatever, but I wanted to have, you know, money to buy tapes and CDs and lipstick and things, you know. And actually the first thing I ever bought with the money that I had from this job that I had over the summer was I bought my mother a gift because, you know, she'd actually gotten me the job at this cafe that we worked at together. So that's my little weird excuse for, you know. And then I spent the rest of it on myself pretty much promptly, mm-hmm. on like books and clothes and whatever you buy things between your 13. But, you know, yeah, so in that sense, I definitely was a little adult, and I was always, my mother always joked that I was like, you know, 14, going on 40 or whatever. Because as a Virgo,
I get that.
But at the same time, there's certain things about being an adult that I just find abhorrent and some that I find frightening, and like just, ugh. The trappings of certain things of adulthood are definitely, haven't assimilated and may never. So there's that.
Okay.
Yeah. And not having children, not being a person who has ever wanted to have children as well. That's probably got something to do with, you know, being a perpetual child, maybe. I mean, at least I'm not one of those people who will say, oh, I'm far too selfish to have children. No, I'm just as selfish as anybody else. I don't think that I would fail as a parent because, oh, I'm too selfish, I'm too busy partying. Not like that. But I've never had an affinity for children, and that's not just the thing that I wanted to be as a person. And I think that only people that want to have children and want genuinely to bring a whole nother person into the world should do it.
Well, there you
go. Don't you think? As someone who has children and very happily, you talk about your children visiting and, you know, like you've done obviously a fantastic job. But I mean, you know, there are other people who are not such fantastic parents. We all know of people.
I never thought I would. Yeah. It was never an aspiration of mine to have a family. I was going to live in a high rise with a white apartment. That was my view.
Well, you're living in a high rise now.
Yeah, well, maybe you're right. But I mean, I was never one of my things. It just came along.
Yeah.
That's because it's in my chart, you see.
Yeah. That's interesting.
Uh-huh.
My mother didn't want children. But I just came along and was like, knock, knock. I mean, she had dreams about me. She had dreams about me before she got pregnant.
And took you to Victoria in utero.
Yes, exactly. I don't want to say anything that she'll
on
feel
a
need.
Bicycle.
Oh, the need to correct.
Impressive.
Oh my goodness. I know. Where did I kill? Like I came along just the non-sportiest person in the sportiest family. My whole family was just nothing but bicycling and camping and all these Sagittarian things. And I came along this little Virgo, like little prim old woman in a 2-year-old.
With a north node in Capricorn.
With a north node in Capricorn going, get me inside. What is this? There's bugs here. Where's the bathroom? Yeah.
So do you think with that north node in Capricorn that you're resisting going into adulthood? Is that what you're telling me?
Certain things, I suppose. But I think also, I mean, our entire society has kind of done a weird parking brake on adulthood. I mean, just since the Pluto and Leo generation began to come of age, and ever since then, there's been this very strange sort of screeching halt to maturity, not in a bad sense necessarily, but in some senses, sure. You know, but now it's perfectly acceptable for men in their 40s and 50s to play video games, and this is not something that happened 20 years ago. Granted, there were only like Atari, Frogger, and things like this, but back then.
Do you think the South Node in Cancer is really where you're at?
I think it's something that I kind of, maybe in whatever past life thing, if we want to say it that way, mastered it, did it, put it aside, moving on. I don't feel like I, because there's that whole motherhood aspect to, you know, to cancer as well. There's the childhood, but then there's also the motherhood thing. And there's a nurturing sort of side of my personality, which of course is tempered by all the planets in Virgo, which is like, oh, nurturing, but not messy. I'll take care of you, but don't cough on me. And I definitely take care of my friends, people that I care about, things like, you know, but I joke about this. People come and cry on my boyfriend's shoulder, our producer, because he's more inviting of a confidant in some ways than I am. But if you have a problem that I can fix or advice that I can help you with, or if you want your resume, don't send me your resume. These are the kinds of things I'm amazing at helping people with. I will help you find an apartment. I've done massive searches for people for, you know,
and that's
apartments.
Just cancer staff, no talking apartments.
Yeah,
and
this is helping. This is, you know, finding you a new job, finding you a new home.
Yeah.
If you've broken up with someone. And I'm great with those things where there's a finite, you know, solution and I can put you in your home and close the door. But the whole ongoing, yeah, like not so good at that. And I think maybe it's because in a past life or what have you, I did that and was like, no, I'm going to crawl out of the crab shell and be free and ascend somehow. But there's a fear of that also. The fear of the high rise with all the suits and the cold sterility of power and self-actualization. Right?
Okay.
Because yeah, self-actualization is at the top of the pyramid, right? It's lonely up there.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's the moon, North Node and Capricorn talking.
Yeah.
And you've got no other planets in Capricorn?
No.
So you see, it's coming through as a pure note there, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, totally.
Good. Great. Yeah. So I think we need to give our email address because we were getting a couple of questions. And
yeah.
Certainly if you wish to send us a question.
Yeah, definitely.
Or comment, or we'd love to hear from you. It's accessastrology@gmail.com.
Indeed.
Owen and I will discuss it next time.
Yeah, we actually got one item that we're going to be discussing in a couple of podcasts from now,
yes.
Which is in answer to a question that someone sent in, which is
fantastic.
Wonderful. They asked, what's the difference between synastry and composite charts, and what's the deal with that? And so we are going to be doing a thorough...
Okay, we can have a look into that.
Yeah.
That's very interesting.
Yeah, definitely. Everyone wants to know about relationships.
Absolutely, we'll pencil that in.
That is after our next podcast, which is the Leo podcast.
Oh, is it?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Brace yourself.
Indeed. Yeah. And also on July 26th, don't forget, Saturday, if you're in Vancouver,
absolutely.
Do come to our website or starsology.com and you can sign up for this wonderful workshop.
It's going to be a lot of fun. We're pretty geared up. We're taking bookings already and then we're amazed at that. So I'm just fantastic about that.
Awesome. Not meet the astrologers of Vancouver.
Yeah.
Well, Access Astrology is produced and recorded by Roger Aaron Chose. I'm Arwen O'Neill.
And I'm Alison Price.
And thanks for joining us.
Thank you. Bye-bye.